Justification is by faith alone is the article upon which the church stands or falls. What did Luther mean by that? What do the reformers mean by that? Without justification by faith alone, you have no salvation and you have no church. Calvin said it was the hinge upon which the rest of salvation swings. It is the primary element. It is the focus. Why? Because it is the gospel. Without this truth, you have no church. Without this truth, you have no salvation. Understanding this truth, listen to me, please. Understanding this truth is vital for your soul and your spiritual health. Knowing the difference between justification and sanctification, knowing what those words mean, you can see they're biblical words. Knowing that God justifies sinners by grace through faith, or by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. Understanding justification is the only way to walk in spiritual strength and health and vitality. Now, you may not understand it by those terms, but understanding that you are saved on the basis of Jesus, not on the basis of you, is fundamental to your life and to your faith. The major application this morning of the sermon is not something for you to go do. It's something for you to know. That God justifies sinners through faith on the basis of Jesus. It's all by grace, we talked about last week. I cannot overemphasize to you the importance of you understanding what Paul means and what the Bible means by justification. You know, we hear sometimes, oh, I don't need all this doctrine. Give me Jesus. I just need the relationship, right? Tell me who Jesus is. The minute you start to do that, you have gotten into doctrine, teaching, understanding. Tell me what salvation is. The minute you try to do that, you're into doctrine, teaching, understanding. For your health, you need to understand and grow in truth. Boil it down to truth. Gospel truth. And it is vital for you to know how you're saved, how you grow in grace, how you finish well, who's working all that out, and that it's all in Jesus through faith. So today we're quickly looking at Romans 4, 1 through 8. I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you about the errors that were in opposition to this truth. I'm going to trust you for a lot of that study to see how Roman Catholic Church had blended salvation or confused sanctification and justification, how they works had bled into the picture, how the priests were the mediators of salvation and it all had to come through. I'm just not getting into all of that. I'm going to treat you more like they treat bank tellers. You know how bank tellers recognize counterfeit? They intimately know the true bill. And so when counterfeit comes along, they recognize it. So we're just going to focus on the truth of justification by faith alone. That's all I can do in the time allotted to me this morning. We're going to look in Romans chapter 4 and see how Abraham was justified, how David was justified, how we are to be justified, and that it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ. So the core of this section is verses 4 and 5. We'll look at two examples, which are Abraham and David. We'll do that quickly. We'll look at 4 and 5, understand justification, and then we'll look at James to see that he doesn't deny it. And by that time, we will be plentifully used our time up. But first, look in chapter 4, verses 1 and through 3. I'm going to start with Abraham as the first example. And what we're seeing this morning is that believing sinners are given Christ's righteousness and are declared righteous by God through faith in Jesus and faith alone, that is apart from works. That's exactly what Paul has been getting at. The text that I read to you, we'll come back to some of that
in chapter 3 and see that justification is a free gift. And then Abraham, who later we are told, you know, even though you're not a Jew, Abraham is your father, your forefather in the faith. Just keep reading chapter 4, you'll see that, Jew and Gentile. But in chapter 4, let's look at Abraham first. As Paul has taught in chapter 3 that for Jew and Gentile, the way of salvation is the same, and it's justification in Jesus by faith alone. And now he brings forth his examples of Abraham and David, and I believe verses 4 and 5 are the clearest, some of the clearest presentation of justification by faith alone in Scripture. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, look what it says about Abraham. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was, now look at this, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. If Abraham was justified by works, if God declared Abraham righteous on the basis of what Abraham had done, he would have something to boast about. But he does not. Paul says, but not before God. There is, same as last week and a lot of things that are happening this week, there's no place for boasting in ourselves in God's salvation. There's only room for boasting in God, boasting in Jesus. So if Abraham would have been justified by works, he would have something to boast about. But he doesn't. In verse 3, what does the Scripture say? Now this is coming from all the way from Genesis chapter 15. Abraham was justified by faith alone just like we are. He looked forward to the seed which is Christ and all and the blessing coming through him. But it's the same salvation. It says, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So Abraham, primary example here, if he was justified by his own works, he would have room for boasting. But Paul says he does not, and he quotes the Scripture that clearly tells us when Abram was justified, who became Abraham? It's when he believed God's promises about his seed, which we know in Galatians is primarily Christ, and then all those in Christ. He believed. That word in the Hebrew, listen, that word in the Hebrew means to trust in. In Genesis 15:6, it means he trusted in God and his promises. It doesn't say Abraham behaved and he was counted righteous. It says he believed, he trusted in God and his promises in the ultimately the coming seed, which is Christ. I don't have time to develop that. And then all in him. Read Galatians, you'll see that developed. But in the Greek also, here in the New Testament, the word there means to think true or to trust. So Abraham trusted God. He believed God's promises true, even though he's as good as dead, it says later. He looked, he saw the stars, he believed that his seed would be in Christ and through Christ, numbering as the stars in the heaven. So it says, Abram believed God and it was counted. Or that word means credited. It means to put in one's account. Righteousness was credited to him. It was credited to him as righteousness. What righteousness? Not his. It's already said, he didn't have any. It was not. He doesn't have room for boasting. So it's a righteousness that is given to him through faith. It says it was credited to him. And this word means blameless behavior. It means what God expects. The blameless behavior that God expects in those that are going to have a relationship with him. The perfect obedience to his commandments was gifted to Abraham. Christ would purchase that hundreds of years later and secure that. We've seen that in chapter 3. Blameless behavior, what God expects, perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed, was credited to Abraham's account because he trusted God.
not because he worked for it.
What the verse says. That's what Paul is using Abraham as his primary example of justification by faith alone. And don't worry, we're going to define these terms as we move along. So Abraham has no right to boast because even his believing God, we know from later revelation, was a gift of God. God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was an idolater. He was a sinful man. God called out and had grace upon and used through him, through his Isaac and Jacob and Israel, he brought about Christ who actually achieved our salvation. And when Abraham trusted, and he was Abram at that point, when he trusted God's promise about his seed, which we know is ultimately fulfilled in Christ, righteousness was credited to his account, and he was justified. Notice what Paul is saying about Abraham. If he was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. In other words, he's not justified by works, not by his obedience. God is not looking at his works at all when he justifies him. None of man's works are considered for justification. None of man's works are involved. Therefore, there's no boasting allowed. And Abraham had no room to boast. Skip to verse 6 and we start talking about David. I'm going to come back to 4 and 5. He also brings up David. He says, just as David also speaks. Now, notice what David speaks about. David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. God credits righteousness apart from works. That's what David was rejoicing in. In other words, David was speaking of justification by faith alone and the blessings that are ours through the salvation that is ours in Christ. He says this, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Blessed is man, woman, boy, and girl. Blessed is everyone who trusts in Christ, that the Lord will not count their sin against them. But David is brought forth, and if you read David's life, you'll see David wasn't a perfect guy either. And in fact, David committed some heinous sin in his life. I mean, adultery, murder, it's pretty serious. God forgave him. The consequences were there that he had to deal with the rest of his life. God graciously confronted him, brought him to repentance, and forgave him. But David's acceptance by God, his justification, was because God credited him righteousness apart from works. In other words, through faith alone. So what Paul is doing right here is he sandwiches verses 4 and 5 between two examples. And verses 4 and 5 are the heart of this section. So you can read more about these examples and the blessings that were theirs. Their sin was covered by the atonement of another, washed away, and the Lord credited to them a righteousness that was not theirs and declared them righteous through that righteousness. But I want to get to the heart of it in verses 4 and 5. This is justification defined. And it's a very interesting couple of verses here. I want you to pay close attention to what these verses say. Notice what Paul says, and he's already said Abraham has no room to boast, David has no room to boast after this, and then he says this, now, he brings up just a workplace example, right? Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. I mean, think about the workplace. You go in, you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and your boss pays you an agreed upon amount, and you get that check at the end of the week. And you don't take that check and say, oh, thank you for your grace. I don't deserve this. Now, sometimes we do have gracious bosses who give us extra and give us more than we deserve. But the point is, you work for a wage and you get paid that wage. And that's not a gift. That's just what you're due. That's the righteous thing to do for someone who works for you, is to not withhold their wages, but to pay them. So if you work and you get paid, it's not grace and it's not a free gift. Not grace alone. It's not what Paul is talking about. And so he brings that example. The one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift. But as his due. And the one who does... Now look at this. Look what he says. The one who does not work. The one who does no work. But trusts him who... Look at this. Justifies the ungodly. How in the world can he do that? His faith is counted as righteousness. Just like Abraham. If our justification were by works, it could not be a free gift. But it is a free gift because it is by grace alone, through the instrument of faith alone, which God gives us, and it's based on Christ alone, which we'll talk about next week. But Romans 30, back in Romans 30, yeah, look for Romans chapter 30. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," and look at this, "and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." By His grace alone, as a gift. The only way it can be a gift is if I don't earn it. Kids, when Christmas comes and your parents give you gifts and others give you gifts and you get gifts, you don't try to pay them back for the gifts, right? You just, yay, thank you, Mommy, thank you, Daddy, and you go off and you enjoy them. Of course, I used to frustrate my mom. I would play in the boxes more than playing with the toys. But anyway, it's a gift. If you have justification, it will be a gift. If you try to earn it, you won't have it. If you're depending on your own goodness and your own works, you will not have it. You can't clean yourself up before you come to Christ. It's turning and trusting. The tax collector, the classic example, on his wouldn't even look up. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he went home justified. Justified. The one who does not work, but, strong contrast, believes in Him who, this is the amazing phrase, who justifies the ungodly. This word does not mean to make righteous and therefore then justify the one you have made righteous, but it means to, that was a confusion over the Latin and justificare and don't have time for that. But the Greek here words means to count righteous, to declare righteous. The one who does not work but believes, trusts in. Saving faith is trust. And it's not confused with works. It's not, listen, the Bible teaching on faith, the faith that is necessary for justification, gets clouded these days because some people want to wrap up in that faithfulness. They bleed in works. And I don't have time to go into that, but just know that that's not true. This faith means trust in. And we do have an active verb for faith, and it's trusting. Who believes in, who trusts God, who trusts in the gospel, and through the gospel trusts in Christ, and in Christ alone, you are justified on the basis of Jesus. But this word right here, he does not work, but believes in. That word means to trust, and it's saving faith. I'll do this quickly. But you may have heard me do this before. But the Reformers had three, because they found it in the Bible. They're not the authority. Justification by faith alone is not dependent on Luther. It's dependent on Scripture. He just saw it and believed it. And so did the others. But there are three vital elements to saving faith. Three vital elements to saving faith in Jesus. Number one, I think I have a slide for this, but the first element of true saving faith is knowledge. If you're going to be saved, you have to know the gospel. You have to know the facts of the gospel. That's why we are so, and need to be more energetic, but the church is so energetic to get the gospel out to those who don't know Christ. Because there's only one gospel, there's only one Savior, and it's only the gospel of God, talked about in Romans, that is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. But the first essential element of true saving faith is knowledge of the facts of the gospel. What are the facts of the gospel? One word, Jesus, not you. Christ came, lived for us, died for us, and was raised from the grave the third day. And that we are saved by trusting in Him, believing in Him. But the facts of the gospel are Jesus, who He is and what He did. And you have to know that. Second element is assent, what they called assent, or believing it true. The second element of saving faith is believing that those facts are true, that Christ was the Son of God, who lived, who died, who was raised from the grave. But that's not enough. It's not enough to mentally assent that that is true. The devil knows all of that. He's not a Christian, in case you were wondering. But the demons believe that Jesus was the Son of God who died on the cross and was buried and was raised on the third day and ascended into heaven and is coming again someday. The demons believe that. You have to go there. You have to know the gospel and believe it's true, but there's more to it if it's saving faith. You'll talk to a lot of people on the street, and when you start witnessing to them, they'll say, I believe in God. Don't say, good, so does the devil. I mean, but that's that might short-circuit your witness. But that's true. Just know that you need to take them far. Don't take that and just be brushed off by it. It's important to believe that the gospel is true, but the last essential element of saving faith is trust. That's what's being talked about. The entrusting of one's soul in salvation to Jesus. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I trust in you. Notice what we're not saying. I've been good enough. I did this. You should save me. My mom was a Christian. Trust in you. Your perfect life. Your sacrificial death. Your glorious resurrection. The fact that you promise to forgive all who trust in you. See, it's faith. Trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. That's the only way. Look at this. God justifies, it says right here in verse 5, that He justifies the ungodly. He declares justification. He declares righteous the ungodly through faith. Another definition that floated around, that justification is God's act of declaring righteous the believing sinner while he is still in a sinning state. And that's good news for you. God saves sinners. He also sanctifies sinners. Justifies sinners and sanctifies sinners. That's not the topic this morning. I'm not spending a lot of time on that. He justifies the ungodly. Notice he doesn't wait till they clean up their act. But he works faith in them and unites them to Christ and justifies them. Declares them righteous on the basis of Christ. Like it was for Abraham and David, he credits righteousness to them and justifies them. See, that's the only way he can justify the wicked here, is that Jesus' righteousness is credited to the one who has faith in him. Imputation, big fancy word. You have to love it. You have to believe it. If you have a problem with Jesus' righteousness being imputed to a believer through faith, then by logic, you have to have a problem with your sin being imputed to him. And him dying for your sin. He wasn't the sinner. You were. But in God's plan of redemption, He died for you. God brings you to faith so that your sin credited to Jesus, His righteousness credited to you, and you are justified on the basis of Christ. But justification is God's act of declaring the believing sinner righteous while he's still in a sinning state. How can He do that? Because the basis of His declaration is the righteousness of Son, which is gifted to you through faith, credited to your account. God works faith in us through the gospel, having given us life, and works faith in us so that we trust in Jesus, hides us in Christ, clothes us in Christ, credits Christ's righteousness to us, having Jesus having died for and paid for our sin and washed that all away. If you want to understand it that way, imputation, big theological word, simply means God gives to you His righteousness through trusting in His Son. That was in chapter 3. Look at this. In chapter 3, 21 and 22, this is not the righteousness by which God is righteous, but the righteousness He requires of the one who would have a relationship with Him. The righteousness that was fulfilled by Jesus when He came and walked on this earth and fulfilled the law for God's glory, yes, but for His people, fulfilling it in thought, word, and deed. In Romans 3, 21 and 22, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested, apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, that Christ would come and fulfill it. The righteousness of God. Now look at this. The righteousness of God, the righteousness that God requires, given as a gift. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, not all who behave. For all who believe, for all who by His grace trust in Jesus, they get the righteousness of Jesus credited to their account. You get the final judgment brought into the present, and God speaks over you His judgment when you trust in Jesus, and it is righteous. And that is a status that will never change. Now we will all answer to Him for our works, and you see that in various places in Scripture, but not for whether or not we're accepted, right? That's taken care of by Jesus and gifted to us when we trust Him. We'll be vindicated in that day. We'll talk more about that. But justification is a one-time act that happens when we trust Jesus. You say, and we're talking a lot about justification, give me a definition. Okay. And this is in a lot of other catechisms as well. I just happen to have gone to a Presbyterian seminary, so I'm more familiar with Westminster than others. But Westminster Catechism defines justification this way. It's question number 33, if you want to go look at it. What is justification? Please memorize this and understand this. You think you don't need this. You need this. Every day of your life, you need to understand what happened, why you trusted Jesus' grace, and what happened as you trusted Jesus, justification. Justification is an act, I think I have a slide for this. Justification is an act of God's free grace. And maybe I didn't. Did I not make one? All right, so you got homework to do. Question number 33, but listen to me. Justification is an act of God's free grace where or wherein He pardons all of our sins. See, justification, sometimes you memorize this definition. Justification means just as though I never sinned. But it's only half of it. That's only the washing clean part, the pardon of all sin through Jesus. There's another element of that, right? Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardons all of our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, gifted to us through faith, and received by faith alone. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardons all our sins, hallelujah, and accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. God is merciful to those who trust in His Son, who don't count on their own works, but understand that their works got them to the place which their sin got them to the place where they need salvation.
They look to Christ and cry out for mercy and trust in Him alone. By God's grace, He's working through the gospel and working all that in you. When you trust Jesus, you're united to Christ. You're pardoned for all of your sin. And His righteousness is credited to your account. So that when God looks at your record, He sees perfect obedience and declares over you, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Because you are hidden in Jesus if you're trusting in Him. Pardoned of all of your sin and credited with His righteousness. So, happens this way. You were dead in your sins and trespasses, Ephesians 2:1, but Christ had already died for you. Planned in eternity past. God brings the gospel into your life, and through the gospel, the Spirit is powerfully at work to give you life. Regeneration, that happens before faith. Right? God gives you life through the gospel so that you then turn and trust in Jesus. And when you trust by God's grace in Jesus, you're united to Christ. It's more of a logical order than a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But you trust in Christ, you're united to Christ, hidden in Christ, and God speaks over you righteous. Only because of His Son. And He begins to grow you in grace. So when you trust, you're united, you have the gift of His righteousness, and you are justified or declared righteous by God. And then good works flow out of this salvation, but they're not the basis of it. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardons all of our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. If you will have salvation, you will have it by trusting in Jesus and in Jesus alone. No other Savior, and certainly not yourself. You will turn from your sin and place your trust in Jesus, and that's all by grace, because you believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He was raised from the grave. Justification is a gift of His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we are accepted in the Beloved by faith alone. That's justification. Go back and listen again. Memorize the definition. See it in Scripture. Memorize the Scriptures. You need it for your spiritual health. You better understand the difference between justification and sanctification if you're going to thrive in Christ. Now, let me take a few minutes here toward the end and talk about justification by faith alone denied. Justification denied. Some see, and maybe you see, or maybe you've struggled with this, some see James in opposition to Paul here. Some think James contradicts Paul, or what James says washes away or changes what Paul says, so that justification is not by faith alone. And I'm telling you, that's not what the book of James is about. James chapter 2, let me read this quickly and you'll see why some people struggle and why some people say that. And if you don't remember a word I say, you will at least know, hey, that preacher had an answer for this. Maybe I need to look that up. But James does not contradict Paul. Okay? In James chapter 2, after talking about the sin of partiality, after talking about being doers of word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, in chapter 2, verse 14, he asks a really good question. He says, what good is it, my brothers or my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, look at this. Faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. That's what James is dealing with, the difference between a living faith and a dead faith. But I'll continue. He says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Now look at this. James says, show me your faith apart from your works. And here, look at this. He's not blending faith and works. He says, I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Yeah, I got that from James. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham... Now look, here's where it gets controversial and where people start to struggle.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Well, Paul said he wasn't. But James is saying he was. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? By the way, that comes way after Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. You see that faith was active with his works and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that said Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he has called a friend of God. You see that a person, now look at here, he says it again. You see that a person is justified by works. Now, wow, look at this. I had a preacher look at me one day and say, I will not adapt, accept as my slogan what Scripture clearly denies. And he went to this verse. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body, now look at this, here's another critical statement. As the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith devoid of works or apart from works is dead. So James has said, a faith that does not produce works is dead. I will show you my faith by my works. And he says here that faith apart from works is dead. And I ask you, does James contradict Paul? And if you don't believe in Scripture and you're looking for a shortcut, you'll look at the words in English and say, yes, he does, case closed, Bible not true. Contradiction. Don't feel alone. Luther struggled with that. Luther called the book of James an epistle of straw because he thought it was denying justification by faith alone. What does James mean, and how can James not contradict Paul? Give you a few indicators. This would be a whole sermon series. We can talk more if you need to. Paul was dealing with the root. Think of a tree. Paul was dealing with the root. James is dealing with the fruit. Paul is dealing with how a sinful person can be reconciled to a holy God. And James was dealing with the difference between a living faith and a dead faith. A living faith produces fruit. It produces good works. And a professed faith that doesn't change the life, that doesn't produce good worth, is not genuine faith. See, sanctification flows out of justification, and they're delineated but never divorced, the reformers would say. But James' point is any supposed faith that does not change the life is useless. He said, I will show you my faith by my works. Our lives demonstrate whether or not we're trusting God. But faith, hear me now, faith is not works. And we are not justified, that is declared righteous on the basis of what we do. And that is not what James is teaching. I'll explain that to you right quick. You say, okay, so for justified, maybe James uses a different word than Paul. No. He uses the same word. Dikaiō in the Greek. Same word. But Greek words don't always mean the same thing in every place they're used. They have a semantic range or a range of meanings depending on the author, how he uses the word, and on the context. This word can mean declared righteous, or it also can mean shown to be righteous. It can mean justification, and it also can mean vindication. And that vindication is how James is using it. And let me give you a good illustration. English words don't always mean the same thing every time we use them. Think of the word cool. If I say it was cool this morning, you know I mean it was chilly. Right? But if I walk out into the parking lot and walk up to you in your car and say, that car is cool, or dope, or whatever young people say these days, I don't mean it's chilly. I mean it's awesome. So that same word can have reference to temperature or awesomeness, depending on how we use it. Do you see that? So that's the same thing that's true with that Greek word, dikaiō. It can mean talking about our being declared righteous by God, or it can mean more of a shown to be righteous or a vindicated. And what happens is the English translators, like the ESV, they didn't do us any favors. They would have been much better off to translate James. You see that a person is vindicated by works and not by a faith that is alone. Has claim to faith. Paul, James is dealing with a say-so faith versus a see-so faith. A faith that is living, which changes the life, versus a profession of faith that makes no difference in the life. Listen, if you came to faith in Jesus and it didn't change your life, your life doesn't demonstrate any more love for Christ. You still love sin and pursue that. You'll come to church sometimes or whatever, but you still really love sin more than you love Jesus, and that's what your life is about. You don't know Christ. And I love you enough to tell you that. Because I don't want you to stand before Jesus on the last day and have Him say to you, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Now, Christians will still stumble in sin. You see that in David and Abraham. But if sin is still what you love, and if your faith hasn't changed the way you live, you don't know Jesus. Because when you come to know Christ, you have the Holy Spirit come to live within you, who uses the Word to grow you in grace, and He will not let you persist in sin, 1 John says. See, but this word justified, when James says we're justified by works, he's talking about vindication. I'll give you one example from the book of Luke. In Luke 7, 34 and 35, it says this, and Jesus talking to His enemies, He says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at Him, a glutton and a drunkard. Yes, Jesus drank wine. We have a problem with that. We can talk more about that. A glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Now, here's where I want to focus. Yet wisdom is justified by all of her children. That's the same word Paul uses and the same word James uses. But here, Jesus is using it as a sense of vindication. What Jesus means is wisdom is shown to be good, true wisdom by what it produces. One day you'll see that I was the wise one, he's telling them. But wisdom is vindicated as true wisdom by what it produces, not that it's declared righteous by bearing children. That same word can be used for justification or more vindication, and James is using it more in the sense of vindication. That the one who has true faith, their life will prove it. They will love God, love one another, and grow in that. Not perfectly, but they will grow in that. And the one who makes a profession of faith, but it's never changed their life, has a dead faith that is of no use to them. Paul is saying how we are made right with God. So that's quick. Now, I know it did, you know, but if you want to talk more about that, we can do that. But James' point is that true faith produces good fruit, which is good works, and that's Paul's exact same teaching in Ephesians 2:10. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which He foreordained that we should walk in them. That comes after the grace by faith salvation in verses 8 and 9. And we'll look at that real quick in just a second. But let's just review. We are not justified. We are not declared righteous by God on the basis of what we do. In Romans chapter 3. Verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Now look at this for this conclusion. This is the conclusion. For by the works of the law, by obedience to the law, by what we do, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The law points out the problem and points to our need of a Savior. That's the first use of it. There are other uses. So, no human being will be justified in his sight by works, but we're justified by faith alone. 4:5 that we looked at, Romans 4:5. To the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness, because Jesus' righteousness is given to us, put on our account. And then just a good summary verse of God's salvation, or section, in Ephesians 2:8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing.
By grace you have been saved, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift, look at this, it is the gift of God, not a result of works or your works, so that nobody may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, Jesus lived for us to provide the perfect righteousness we do not have. He fulfilled the law in thought, word, and deed perfectly. He loved His Father, and He obeyed His Father for the glory of His Father and for the good of His people. And then He died to pay the penalty for our sins. He went to that cross, and He took the wrath that is due His people onto Himself, and He drank that cup dry. He went into the grave. He really died, and He was raised the third day. He ascended into heaven, and He's coming again. Jesus is 100%. He has earned and achieved our salvation, and His righteousness is given to us as a free gift through faith, and we are declared righteous by God on the basis of Jesus because we trust in Him. You may not understand any of that. What must I do to be saved? Turn from relying on anything else and trust in Jesus. Like the tax collector, if you say and you mean it, God have mercy on me. Jesus, I trust you for my salvation. If that's flowing from your heart, God produced that. Through that faith, He joins you to Christ, gives you His righteousness, and declares you righteous. He saves you. That word salvation is a big word. I mean justification, sanctification, or glorification. We're talking about justification this morning. God declaring righteous the person who trusts in Him because He gives them Christ's righteousness. Luther said that when he got this point, and you know Luther was serious about sin and repentance, but when he got this point, when he understood that the righteousness God requires is what He gives us as a gift through faith, he said the doors of paradise swung open, and I walked through. If you will trust in Christ and in Christ alone, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all of your sins are pardoned and that you are declared righteous and counted righteous by God on the basis of His Son, Jesus Christ. All a gift to you through faith alone. Trust and rest in Jesus. Let's pray.